Well, next we're going to have the opportunity to hear from several of the people that went on the mission trip, or a sampling of people that went on the mission trip. And I'll introduce them now, and then they'll introduce themselves when they come up. We'll be hearing first from April Anderson, then Terry Shepherd, then Sarah Parent, and then Sydney Hicks. And then finally, I'll come up and share a few closing thoughts for all of us as we head on out into the mission field that we find around us. So come on up, April.
Hi, I'm April Anderson, and this was my first mission trip that I've ever been on. And so I'm going to kind of tell sort of someone else's story, but from my perspective. So this was a story from the second day on our work site. And when we were on our work site, it was raining like a lot, like storming and pouring. And so on the second day, we needed to go get wood. By the way, we were doing plumbing for these people at our work site. We had to go get wood. So Lori and a kid in our group went to go get wood in the van. And the road is just one lane, you know? And so if somebody else comes down the road and you like are facing each other, then you're gonna have to like back up. So she was nervous when she was on the road, and she was like going to the side of the road because she didn't wanna hit anybody. But then the van ended up getting stuck on the edge of the road where there was like this ditch. And when she was going to like try to get the van out, she said that normally she would have like gone forward and then gone back a little bit. But luckily she got out and checked, because otherwise if she would have done that, then the van would have like fell. Her and the kid with her, Isaac, they came back to the work site. And when we were at the work site, we had been outside, or some of us had been outside, some had been inside, but we hadn't really started a relationship with the people that were in there. So while some people from our group and some people from another group were going to go get the van out, then we started talking to the people there. And we kind of started gaining their trust, because the girl there, she was the grandchild of one of the ladies that was there, Addie. So the grandchild, she's like a teenager. She sang for us, actually, and it was really pretty. And it kind of felt like good things just kept happening. What God was showing me was that good can come from a negative situation. Like throughout the mission trip, he would just keep showing me that. And so at the house, they prayed with us too, by the way. They like bowed their heads while we were praying for the storm and for the van. So after that, when the van actually did end up getting out, they got it out. And then we went to Dairy Queen to eat our lunch. And then Lori bought us all ice cream. And the person who was taking our order saw that she was paying for all of us, and she gave her a discount. And then, but after that was when we met this man. We sat down, and this man asked us, "Do you know where the nearest hospital is? Because I have black lung," and he was trying to get there. And Lori said, "We're not from around here, so we don't know, but we can ask the employee." So he got help from the employee. But after that, she was kind of talking to him, and he was talking about miracles that he had experienced in his life. And then he told her that he wrote a song about God. So here are the lyrics to the song that he wrote. "Lord, I thank you for another day in worship and another day to pray. I'll thank you for the sunshine, and I'll thank you if it rains. Makes me feel good all over just to praise his holy name. A better friend you could not have throughout eternity, and he wrote it in the good book he left for me. He wrote it in the Bible, and he lies within my heart. Satan's a deceiver, but my Jesus is smart. And that was just kind of like signs over and over that it happened for a purpose, and that because of the storm and the van getting stuck, then we could talk to the people. And it kind of made me reflect on like situations in my own life where a bad thing happens, and of course you're like, God, why would this happen? How could any good come from this? But then you see that really God can bring good from any bad, and sometimes we just need to look back and reflect and see that. So that is what I learned.
Good morning, my Christchurch family. I'm Terry Shepherd, and the 58 of us who went on this mission trip were the goers. As goers, we went to serve in the name of Jesus and in his power. We all grew closer to the Lord in one way or another. We worked hard to serve our fellow man. And as on every other mission trip, God showed us himself in some way. This mission trip, it was in the power of prayer. Amazing Holy Spirit-filled prayer. From the beginning to the end of the mission trip, from large group prayer, where the Holy Spirit swept through us, to small group and individual prayer, where breakthroughs were happening, and kids were asking, what was that? I believe we did well for the glory of God. The people of Christ Church are the senders. Some of the senders were prayer partners. Each mission tripper had someone specifically assigned to pray for them. The prayer partners are the frontline people, not the behind-the-lines people. They went before us, and they paved the way for God's good works to be done. That kind of prayer is vital for a successful mission trip. Anyone who supported us financially, prayed for us, or encouraged us is a sender. Without senders, goers can't go. So senders from Christ Church and beyond, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being a sender. You did well for the glory of God. Then there are the receivers. Receivers are those we go to serve, and to anyone whom God gives benefits and blessings through us. There were many more receivers than just the six families we went to serve. Besides all the amazing things that happened as we got to know our families, giving them hope in Jesus' name, and serving them, it was the other receivers that really made it known to me that we did well for the glory of God. The receiver that April just spoke about, the man with the black lung, how cool is that? That is a powerful story. A couple of the other examples were on the day we left Kentucky. We had to go down the mountain to a small gas station that was out of our way to fill up. There was an elderly gentleman filling up his truck, dressed in a neatly pressed button-down shirt with the very top button buttoned and well-pressed dress pants. His beautiful wood-handled pistol tucked smartly in his breeches, he started talking to me, but he didn't ask me what we were doing there. He already knew. He thanked me for what we had done for the people there. Then I went inside to pay for all of the gas. The woman behind the counter was a quiet woman whom I had met the day before. We had spoken a little bit, and I engaged her some more that morning. But I hadn't told her why we were there. She already knew. As I opened the door to leave, she said in a very quiet voice, "Thank you for what y'all have done. It's very nice." Obviously, the whole mountain knew what was going on with our little invasion of 58 people in their valley and in their hollers, crawling over homes and making many trips to the Family Dollar store for various items, including ice cream. The ice cream was from Miss Christine. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. The people were receivers. These people were receivers because their heart was full because of our actions. These are just a few examples of the impact of this trip. It's not about what we did. It was about leaving the aroma of Christ on that mountain, and I believe we did it well for the glory of God.
Hello, I'm Sarah Parent, and this was also my first mission trip, and I didn't really know what to expect. I had two older brothers that went on mission trips before, and they always talked about how fantastic it was and how much of an experience it was. And really, by the end of this trip, I knew what they were talking about completely. So my favorite part of it was probably going to the work site, which is kind of surprising because you're doing work, obviously. But the lady that we were serving, she's 82 years old. Her name is Miss Lydia, and her husband died of Alzheimer's a while back. So she couldn't exactly live on her own, and she had 7 kids. So each day of the week, she'd have a kid come home and help her with her chores, with just stuff that she has to do around the house. And throughout the week, when we had each kid there, it was amazing. Like, she welcomed us, and they were all so loving. It felt like we were actually going to our own grandma's house. They made us like lunch every day, and they were so deep in their faith, and they always talked about how they had a saving grace moment. And it was amazing to just hear their stories and be there with them. And with our rain delays throughout the first and second day, we heard a lot about their life, and it was amazing and impactful for what they had gone through. So after we get back from our work site, when we go back to our chapel, we'd all worship and then tell life stories and tell about our days and what we did. So I started to realize after just the first night in the life stories, everybody kind of had their own aha moment. And going through that, after I went through my life story, I realized that I didn't really have an aha moment with God. And I was always firm in my faith, and I knew that, but I just didn't really have it click like everybody else was. So each night, me and my roommate, we'd kind of tell each other about our days, and she was just having all these amazing things happen to her with God and her faith, and she was so deep and just so happy by all these things happening. And I was really proud of her. I just was puzzled why I wasn't really having that aha moment. So I kind of just dwelled on that, and I didn't really know what to do. But then after a while, I just kind of gave up, and I was like, okay, I don't think I'm going to have that. I'll just go about it as usual. So then it came to our last night on the mission trip, and we were staying at a church in Royal, Illinois. The church was beautiful. Like, the chapel had stained glass windows and everything. It was beautiful. And so we were all sitting there, and we were worshiping, and we didn't have any life stories that night, so we were just worshiping, praying, and being with the pastor that welcomed us into the church. And so at one point, we all just kind of quieted down, and there was some background music, and we were praying to ourselves. And I just kind of closed my eyes, folded my hands, bowed my head, and I just kind of smiled, and I thanked God for this amazing experience of being on this impactful mission trip and just having all the people to connect with. So I just kind of sat there and smiled, and then we sang a couple more songs, and then we prayed again, and then Jared Purcell actually opened up for a group prayer. So after a little bit, I spoke up, and I just said a quick prayer and everything, and then we started singing again, and I was like, you know what? I feel like raising my hands up to the Lord right now. It was amazing. And right as I did that, I kind of just felt like a burning sensation in a ring around my hand, and then like a little bit of pressure in the middle of my palm. At that point, I just kind of stopped for a second, and I looked down at my hands, and I didn't really know what to think about it. I was so surprised about what was happening, and I just kind of got the image of Jesus actually on the cross and his hands being nailed to the cross. And to myself, I thought, I am forgiven and he is here. And it was amazing. I just kind of sat there and I kept worshiping and worshiping. And the night before, I actually talked to Mama Terry about my life story and how I wasn't really having that aha moment. And she explained to me what she had, and I just kind of knew that that was there. He was there with me and there with everybody, and he was so thankful for all of us. And I went up to Terry right after we were done, and I said, Terry, this is what's happening. And she asked me, what do you think it is? And I sat there and I said, I think it's the Holy Spirit. And we were all just connecting, and we were praying over this map of everyone over the world that's just trying to express their faith. And I was so happy that this had finally happened. And in the end, be patient and know that he is God, because the Lord will provide the answers you seek. You just have to pay attention to it.
Hi, my name is Sydney. I'm going into my senior year this coming fall at Zimmerman High School. I got an amazing opportunity to head off on my fourth mission trip, this time being called to Harlan County, Kentucky. While there were many impactful things on this mission trip, two things really stuck out to me and showed me why I had been called to go. We worked on the home of Miss Christine. We put on a new metal roof on her mobile home, which had been leaking for years, and replaced three windows and two doors that had rotted out and were letting snakes and bugs in the summer and the cold in the winter. These were the obvious reasons that we were called to serve. But it wasn't until we were there for a few days and had built a relationship with Miss Christine that we discovered the needs that were a little less obvious. The first was what was in Miss Christine's fridge, or more accurately, what wasn't in her fridge. Food. There wasn't any. She literally had half a can of canned peas in a bowl and one frozen TV dinner. That was all she had to live on for the next 5 days until her Social Security check came on the first of the month. Imagine opening your fridge this afternoon and seeing only a half a bowl of peas. I wish I was exaggerating. I couldn't get that image out of my mind all day, and I reflected on my fridge at home, thinking of all the fruit, leftovers that my mom knows I don't eat, butter, cheese, milk, and vegetables that were always there. All too often, upon opening my fridge at home, I have been known to beller, "Mom, we have nothing to eat." And I know I'm not the only one guilty of that very remark in this worship center. The truth is that we shouldn't be ashamed of our plenty. Although it was easy for me to be saddened by how much I had and how little my very own sister in Christ had, I learned that we should be humbled beyond words and grateful beyond measure for all that we possess, and that we should do all that we can to help others. Even the very light above your kitchen table is a gift. That light, or any light for that matter, was something that Miss Christine lives without due to a fear of electrical or unsafe electrical issues and the cost to keep her house lit. Most of the time, she uses one light at a time. Each day, we shared our lunch with her, and the last day, a couple of us went to the local Family Dollar, okay, maybe more than one time, while the others were finishing up on construction projects, and brought some food to help restock her fridge and freezer as a going away gift. The second thing that revealed our purpose was actually brought about by all the times we were driven inside by the rain. And yes, we did run inside. This provided ample time to get to know Miss Christine. In the last two days, Nick brought his guitar and we sang songs from our mission trip song packets with her for a long time. Miss Christine acknowledged that she hadn't gone to church for some time and she had mentioned to a friend that they should go sometime. As the week came to a close, she said to us, "I didn't realize how lonely I was until you all came." Those words sunk deep. Not only is Miss Christine facing physical poverty, but emotional and spiritual poverty as well. And while we were there, we could fulfill that need. But we knew when we left that need would then again be unfulfilled. We planted a seed and showed what true Christian community was by our words, actions, and our love that we poured out for her and each other. We encouraged her to reach out to her friend again about going to church together, and that God would fulfill her need for relationships and Christian community. As we prayed with her and said goodbye, there were tears in her eyes. On this mission trip, I learned what it meant to find the light in each day, both literally and figuratively. I learned to be grateful for what I have and mindful of what other people don't have. I also learned the importance of surrounding myself with good company and authentic Christian community, one that includes people that see the best in you and want the best for you. Philippians 4:11-14 reads, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles."
It's just amazing each year what God does through these experiences. And not just, as Terry talked about, for the receivers, but also for those that are going and doing. No matter what we do when we serve God, it comes back to us in some way, shape, or form. God is a God of an amazing economy, and He is always about shaping and molding us, even as we step out in faith and serve Him. We divided our 58 people into six teams, and so we worked on six homes, each of which represents a story and a people who are on God's heart. And while the physical needs were obvious, as Sydney said, the emotional and spiritual needs revealed themselves as we got to know the people and served and loved them in Jesus' name. Many of you in this room supported this mission trip, either financially or by sending someone on it or by being a prayer partner. So you were very literally a part of this too. So thank you for joining with us to reach out to the glory of God. I can't tell you how proud I am of the people that were on this trip. I mean, they worked in adverse conditions. As you heard, we had rain of the four work days. We had rain solid on three of those work days. And three of the projects we were doing were roofs. So you can imagine the difficulty of that. Another team was working under the house in really difficult conditions as well. And never was that something that brought the team down. Instead, what you heard was that God used those opportunities, as we did have to sometimes take shelter because the rain was just pouring, to build relationships with the people that were in the house. But beyond the work that we did that made a huge difference in people's lives, we believe that each of these mission sites contained divine appointments and were God's answers to prayer for the people that were there. The truth is, we are all on a mission for Christ. Every believer in Jesus. And you don't have to go on a mission trip to do it. There are people all around us that need what Jesus offers, and they won't discover it unless someone shows them. We have a mission. It comes from Jesus' mission. And while it could be said many different ways in the Bible, perhaps Luke 19:1 captures it most succinctly when Jesus says that the reason he came was to seek and to save the lost. Everyone who believes in Christ is called to be a part of that same mission, his mission, to reach out and help people find him. Paul spells out our mission clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21. It's simply about reconnecting people to God. Here's what it says. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of bringing people back into relationship with God, and to carry this message forward that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us that same message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, Paul says, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are representatives of Jesus, ambassadors, given the assignment to carry to all people the message that God wants to have a relationship with them through Jesus. That's our mission. Every one of us is called to this as our primary purpose here on earth when we become a follower of Jesus. Wherever we go, we're meant to carry that message with us and to share it with others. You and I, everyone in this room, is God's plan to reach this world. Our goal as we live and serve is for people to see Jesus. Jesus said during the Last Supper, "They will know that you're my disciples by the quality of your love." by the way that you love one another and by the way that you reach out in love. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus tells us not to be undercover Christians or to keep our identity as his followers a secret. Instead, he urges us to live boldly for him and to influence the world, to be salt and light, and to not hide our faith, but to put it on a lampstand for all to see by the way that we live. He says this, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." The objective through the things that we do is not for us to get the credit, but to point people to him. We want to make sure that people know about the love, hope, and eternal life that God made available through Jesus. You know, in our preparation and training for mission trips, we emphasize two things many, many, many times. The first is this. This isn't about a 10-day mission trip. It's about being a disciple and making disciples for a lifetime. There is no greater purpose than that. The second is, a physical need is met for a moment. A relationship with Jesus is forever. Any roof we replace will eventually leak again. Any window we put in will need to be replaced again. It will eventually all crumble. But that's not true of people. People can last forever in heaven. So the work that we do is for the purpose of pointing people to Christ and sharing about the God who loves them, who knows their needs, and who sent us to help them as his representatives. You know, if they meet us and later forget about us, that's no big deal. But if they meet Jesus, it will change their life for eternity. That's our mission. It's all of our mission. This is the essence of what we call prayer evangelism, and it's really simple. Bless and speak peace. Build a relationship. Meet their felt needs, and then share about Jesus. This approach has led not only to life-changing conversations with the homeowners we served on the mission trip, but often even with their neighbors or gas station customers or store clerks who can't believe a bunch of kids and adults came so far to work so hard for people they didn't even know. For people that don't know Jesus, it blows their mind because they're seeing God's unconditional love happening right in front of them. Often it breaks down their defenses, and they begin to open up. And more often than not, the conversation turns to faith. You know, this summer, 70 of our middle school and high school students are involved in Super Summer Serve, serving locally throughout our community, reaching out and meeting the needs of Jesus, needs in Jesus' name in all sorts of ways. They have served at Care and Cross Food Shelves. They've built relationships and helped the homes of 7 senior citizens from Big Lake to Elk River. They've packaged enough food to feed 111 kids for a year through Feed My Starving Children. And they've weeded and mulched 2 parks for the city of Otsego. And they're not done yet. They're on a mission for Christ, seeing needs and filling needs in Jesus' name. And that saying is more than just a slogan. The hope is that it will become a way of life for our students. Our goal is to practice being disciples of Jesus, to engage the world around us, and to learn to see people through God's eyes, and to be willing to reach out and serve selflessly in a way that will point people to Jesus, the only one who can meet all of their needs forever. 1 Peter 4:10, 11 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." Our challenge, yours and mine, is to live that way every day. As followers of Jesus, we are all, always, living our lives on mission for Christ. You're never off duty, and you never know when the next divine appointment may appear. Time is short. Let's not waste an opportunity. Please pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that, first of all, you have stepped into our lives with your unconditional, crazy love, and that you accepted us just as we are, and that you have made us part of spreading that message to others, that you've redeemed us, that you've transformed us, and you send us into the world as your ambassadors with your message of hope and reconciliation and restoration. And so, Lord, give us the courage to live that way every single day, at work, at school, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in the grocery store, everywhere we find ourselves. Help us to be a lamp on a lampstand, salt and light in this world, pointing people towards you. And thank you, Lord, for what you did through this mission trip. In Jesus' name. And now I'm going to invite Terry up for